Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, friends. Welcome to the Prodigal Church Hour, or 30 minutes in the Word. We kind of changed it around a little bit, but good morning and welcome. I'm your host, Mr. Daryl Kendrick, and I'm glad to be here today. I am extremely tired because I worked last night, but praise God that he allowed me to stay up to do this because it's very important, and it's a discipline that I'm asking God to definitely give me more of, because I need prayer and I need those that that struggle with it. I know that together we can come together and hold each other up and love on one another and be able to, you know, share what's going on in our lives and stuff. And, you know, this is an opportunity for us to come together and lay our burdens before the Lord and be able to pray for one another. And I think it's very important. A lot of things that a lot of problems that we have because we're not praying on a consistent basis. And I know that for me, you know, the Bible says we have not because we ask not. And I'm not talking about asking for things that are temporal, but I'm talking about asking for the spiritual things first and foremost. Because if we are seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness, I believe God will grant us what we're seeking for after. So it's important for us to be able to pray. Pray consistently and pray according to God's will. And so we're going to talk about prayer for about 15 minutes, and then Lord willing, we'll get some phone calls in and people that have some prayer requests and prayer concerns. Yesterday was the beginning of what I did. I did this yesterday morning. We didn't even get into the lesson of Psalm 119 because God had took us in another direction, and praise God for one sister that called from all the way in New Jersey, and she shared her heart, and Brother Scott called it. You know, I believe that if we want to have victory over the flesh, the devil, and the world, it starts in prayer. It starts with a consistent prayer life, a disciplined prayer life, and most importantly, a prayer life that glorifies God, that lifts God up. It's not about us or our will to be done, but it's about his will being done. And his will is always to please the Father. Jesus said, I always do those things that please the Father. So I want us to be consistent as well, according to the Bible. Like the Bible says, we need to be consistent with how God wants us to pray. So on that note, let us open up with prayer, and then we'll get into this morning's. We'll have a few scriptures to kind of set the tone, and Lord willing, we'll get some phone calls. The phone number here is 646-668-8468. 646-668-8468. And if you're on the computer, you should be able to dial directly to. We want to just invite you to come out and share your heart. And after we get through with these, kind of laying out the power of prayer, going through some scriptures, some words of lifting up the word of God. Amen. Because I believe that if our prayer life is not right, our study life is not going to be right either. Our time in devotion, our time in the Word is not going to be correct, because we need prayer for both. We need prayer to combat against the forces of darkness, but we need prayer to give us, that God would give us wisdom how we rightly divide the Word of truth. When we open our Bibles, we need to be praying. We need to be praying for God's wisdom. Understand, we meditate on the word. That's a part of prayer. So So all these things tie in together. It's not. It's like a hand and a glove. We want us. We want to be effective prayer, effective in our prayer, fervent in our prayer. We must have an attitude of worship. We must have an attitude of praise. We must have a. We must have an attitude of that we're seeking God with all our. We're seeking God with all our mind, heart, and soul. We're not seeking Him with selfish endeavors. We're seeking Him for clarity, to know Him, that we are on His level, that we're not trying to bring Him down to ours. So, on that note, let's go before the Lord. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord God, first and foremost, for the cross. We thank You for salvation, Your Son, Jesus Christ, who emptied Himself, Lord God. The blood of Jesus was shed abroad, Lord, on Calvary's cross, Lord, for our sins and our trespasses. He who knew no sin became a sin offering for all of mankind, Lord. And it's because of Jesus Christ that we come here today, Lord God. Or some of us would like to be asleep in our flesh, but, Lord, we've been given a mission. We want to fulfill that mission to the best of our ability. And we know we can do nothing apart from You, Lord. We can do nothing apart from prayer, study of Your word. Lord God, we just seek You right now, Lord God, for understanding and wisdom. Lord, we ask, Lord God, that You enlighten us to Your word, and that You would give us understanding, Lord. But we thank You, Lord God, for allowing us just to be here this morning. And we thank You for those who will show up as well. But we just ask, may I decrease and may You increase, Lord God. And may You get all the glory and I get the growth. In Jesus' mighty master's name, we say thank You. 646-668-8468. 646-668-8468 is a call-in number here on the Prodigal Church Hour. We're just going to maybe spend maybe 15 minutes this morning because it's been a long night. And if we don't get anybody to come out, you know, in the first 30 minutes, then we'll go ahead and leave it at that. And we live to see another day. It's not no biggie. We're going to keep on doing what God called us to do. If we get one person, we get one. If we get 20, we get 20. If we get 100, we get 100. Praise God. We're just going to be consistent and faithful in God's will. And we're just going to keep on promoting the gospel and keep on doing it. And that's another thing, friends. If you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you have not placed your faith, saving faith in Jesus Christ. That means you no longer trust yourself. You no longer trust this world. You no longer trust the devil you've been serving. But you trust Jesus and Him alone for eternal life. We have not done that yet. Today is the day. Today is the day of starting a brand new life. Today is the day of starting a brand new relationship that is beyond anything that you can expect. Yes, you might have seen some people who claim to be Christians or who were Christians who were not living up to the standard, but guess what? Christ is the standard, not man. And yes, there are some that make a mockery of it. There are some that make God look bad. But God is still going to hold you accountable for what you know is right. Your conscience tells you what's true. So I want to encourage you. Man, woman, boy, and girl, if you have not trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is the day that you do that. Today is the day that you let go of that pride, let go of all your religion, all those things that are keeping you from the cross, and you come before Him and trust in Him and fall on your face before God and tell Him, Lord, I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord, I know that I have not lived. I know that my life is, how I've been living my life is totally, is not the way You desire me to live. and I want to live my life according to your will. I no longer want to live according to this world, but I want to live according to your plan and purpose. I'm willing to give up me so you can have all of me, Lord. I trust you with all my heart. I no longer want to lean on my own understanding, but from this day forth, I want to walk with you. Now, if you really mean it, because words don't mean nothing if they have no conviction behind it. If you're not really sincere about it, it won't make a difference. But if you really mean it, if you want God to have all of you, He will take you. He will take you by the hand and lead you. He doesn't want you to die in your sins. I don't want you to die in your sin. You have to turn from your sin. Repentance is turning from your sin, not turning in sin, not rolling around in sin, not moonwalking in sin, not swimming in sin, not wading in sin, but turning away from sin, turning to the one who died for you, who took the sins of the world upon his shoulders and his back, was beaten beyond recognition, and feared and plucked. His name is Jesus Christ, and you can have a personal relationship with Him today. You just cry out to Him and call Him, call upon Him, turn from your sin, and repent of your sin, confess your sin. Amen. All right, 646-668-8468. We're gonna talk scripture. We're gonna look at a few scripture here. The power of prayer. Philippians 4:6-7, he says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. He says, don't be anxious. That's a command. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer. Oh, so many of us right now, we itching to get this latest this or this new that or new gizmo or new this or new that. And there's nothing wrong with having nice things. There's nothing wrong with having things, period. But it is something wrong when those things have us, when those things take priority in our lives, when those things become such a distraction because we're going out of our way to try to get something. And the Bible tells us, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer. A lot of times we want the latest this or latest that, but we haven't even asked God. Does God want us to have that? Is that something that's going to hinder my life or hinder me in the sense that I won't be able to function if I don't get it? Is it going to distract me from my prayer life? Is it going to distract me from my study time? Is it going to distract me from the things of God? God would never, ever, ever give you something that would take you away from Him. I remember several years ago, I would say, Lord, if it's going to keep me away from you, keep it away from me. And that's the truth. We got enough distractions. We got phones and we got iPads and tablets and all kinds of things. And I'm not saying they're sinful, but they can be a weight. They can be traffic. They can be something that hinder us from being what God wants us to be or where He wants us to be. Not to mention, it can be just a downright use for evil and use for ungodliness, wickedness. Those things can be used for that because you can be addicted to porn. You can have all you do is play videos of ungodly music, ungodly videos of people that hurt people or people that's doing evil. And that's all you do is feed your mind with this poison. He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Are we being thanksgiving? Let your request be made known to God, It says, let your requests be made known, like Thanksgiving. Sometimes we get stuff and we don't even thank God. We don't even thank Him for the food we got. We don't even thank Him for the basic necessity. How about thanking Him for air? There's so many things we can be thankful for. We just take it for granted that we're going to have air tomorrow, or we're going to have it later on today, or whatever else we're not thankful for is going to be here.
God is trying to get us
to realize that he doesn't need us. We need Him in every aspect of our life, but He doesn't need us. Remember, friends, before He created life down here, He was self-sufficient. It was Him and the Trinity, and they were fine. He was okay with that. He was okay with just Him, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and He was okay. He wasn't lonely. He wasn't sitting around there saying, oh my goodness, I'm so bored. No, He was never bored. He was never lonely. Before the angels, before He created anything, He still was God. So, again, we see that the Bible commands us not to be anxious about anything, but to be
giving thanksgiving. Excuse me.
Giving thanksgiving. We should be letting our requests be known to God. A lot of times we just go and do things. I'm guilty of it. I'm sure all of us have our moments where we make choices and decisions and we don't even see God. We don't even pray about it. We're not making God a priority because we want that thing or that stuff or whatever it is that we're fishing for. We've already made our choice in our mind and our heart. We're going to get it. We're going to get the latest iPhone or Galaxy or Android phone. We're going to get the latest one because we can go get it and we're going to stop us. I'm going to get this latest outfit. You got 200 outfits in there, but you want this one. So God is constantly shifting and sifting things around to get us to look at Him and stop looking at the stuff. But He tells us, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard up your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Do you realize that every time we want to make a decision, a lot of times we're not doing it based on our hearts and our minds being guarded in Christ Jesus? We're making those decisions based on our flesh, based on the devil, based on the world, because we want what we want when we want it. And again, I'm not saying that it's wrong to have things, but we live in a post-Christian world, friends, where there's a lot of false disciples out here, false teachers out here telling you that God saved you so you can have stuff. God saved you so you can have a brand new car, a big house, a white picket fence with a dog named Fluffy. But He didn't save you for those things. No. That's that Western Christianity mentality. God didn't save. He saved us for His glory. He saved us for His glory. He didn't save you for you. He didn't save you and me so we can have do us. I'm doing me. I'm doing me. He tells us to let us. He said, hey, we need to guard our. He said, we need to, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. In other words, it surpasses all unrational thinking. It surpasses that. All humanistic wisdom. It surpasses that. Will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. James 5:16 says, therefore confess your sins one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous person has great power as it is working. Now, we know that God, that through prayer, yes, we can seek God for healing. Does He always give us healing down here? No. But the real healing is in the cross. Real healing is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that heals us from sin and the corruption of sin. It heals us from the power of say of death. Because the Bible says that death has no more sting over the believer. Once you are born again, you don't have to fear death. A lot of folks say, well, I'm guaranteed healing. Well, then that means you ain't going to die, because death was part of the healing process. I mean, death was part of the process of the curse. So if you guarantee healing down here, that means you're not going to die from here either. Just going to wait for the rapture. But every day people check in and check out. I'm not trying to stay down here no longer than I have to, friend. I don't have a suicide watch on a suicide mission or any of that. But guess what? My home is in heaven. I can't wait to get there. Why are y'all trying to stay down here? Why are you so anxious to stay down here? Anyway, John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. One thing this is not a blank check for you to ask for dumb stuff. For us to ask for dumb stuff does not grant dumb wishes. He's not a genie. God is not here to entertain us. We're not going to rub our Bibles and get three wishes. That's not going to happen. And we're not going to rub our Bibles and we get stuff. That's not what he saved us for. God will never, ever violate his truth by perverting it and making it and trying to basically twisting the scriptures. Now, he will let Satan have you for a period that he may use the very thing, because he always comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He might give you a Job experience. We don't see Job not suffering. Job went through a suffering period. Job was given over to Satan. Even though he was not unrighteous or sinful, Job didn't do anything wrong. But God knew that Job would be faithful. God knew that Job would stand the test. Will we stand the test? Are we going to abide in him? He says, John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is a believer that's Christ-centered. He's not seeking his own will. He's seeking God's will. He or she is one who is in prayer. They're in connection. They're connected to the source. As John 15 talks about, remember Jesus said, hey, if you abide in me, a lot of times we just ain't plugged into the cross. We got a cord, and we know where to plug into, but guess what? We haven't plugged in. That's including me. We all fall short of this. Every one of us. I don't care, from the most intellect professor all the way down to the lowliest of lowly little lamb. We all fall short. But thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his covenant. Thank God for Jesus Christ. Because we don't have to live defeated, friends. We don't have to live beat down. We have a God who loves us so much that he gave his only begotten Son, and a Savior who died in our place. And one day, I plan on seeing him face to face. I plan on meeting him face to face. It's important for us to develop this prayer life so we can go to him face to face. We can have that intimate time. We can be able to stand boldly in the throne room of grace, knowing that our God hears our prayers. We don't want to be defeated. See, Satan will try to get us discouraged. How would he try to get us discouraged? By giving us a false sense of security, or giving us, trying to tell us that God don't want to hear our prayers, so we don't pray. God don't want us to study, because see, we have to realize that prayer and getting in God's word go hand in hand like a glove. Remember, what did Jesus say? He says, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you." That's fellowship. You got to be in the Word. as well as in prayer. So the word becomes alive, the word becomes real in your life when you're in prayer. You can't be walking around just quoting scripture and don't have no relationship with the word and prayer. You have to be in prayer consistently as a habit of life and in the word. God is so loving. He's so faithful. Again, I like what he said in John 15:7. He says, if you abide in me, if you abide in me. See, he's given, basically he said, if you're a disciple of mine, you are abiding in me. It's not going to be an issue if you're abiding in me. A disciple will be abiding in me. You will be connected to Christ as a habit of life. Does that mean we're going to do it perfectly? No, but it will be a habitual habit. It will be consistency going on with the believer. Because, see, one thing we know about Daddy is Daddy has no problem taking us to the woodshed and giving us a nice little discipline lesson to get us back on track. The wayward children, the devil's children, he's not judging those. He judges those that's in the body, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Jesus does not worry about those that's outside. The world is doing what the world does. One day they will be judged accordingly. One day. If you're not a believer, you will be a believer then. On the day of judgment, all unbelievers will be believers. I promise you that. Because hell will be real and it will be your new home. No time. I can just kick back and stuff, you know, because I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. I can just do whatever I want to do. Yeah, that right there is a lie from the pit of hell. You can't do what you want to do. You've been bought with a price. Now, unbelievers do what they want to do, but they really not getting away with nothing either. But fake believers, fake believers. They do what they think they can get away with. Last verse here. First John 3:22. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. It is. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. Now, one thing again, here it is. It's not a blank check for stuff. It's not a blank check for the big house, the big car. And I'm not saying you can't ask God, but guess what? I don't think God's going to just pour out houses out of heaven. You know, if you've got a house and you got a $100,000 debt on it, you know, God gave you the resources to get the house. Or he gave you the ability to go to work. Work that job or career where you run a company or something, he gave you the ability to make income. But he didn't give you the house. You might have wanted to pick this house out. But he, you know, if you still got debt, you know, God didn't give you the house unless you get the house with no bill. No payment. All you got to do is pay the taxes once a year. You still got bills. You got a debt. You miss a couple of notes, they're going to let you know it's not yours. Same thing with a car. It's easy. You know, a lot of people drive around in fancy cars. Some folks don't have that car for a whole month. 30 days. They thought they was going to get some big money. Jesus. Again, he says, and whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his command and do what pleases him. See, when we do what pleases God, when we're girded up and we're walking in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit leads us to all truth. The Holy Spirit leads us to righteousness. The Holy Spirit even intercedes on behalf of us because the Bible tells us that we don't even know what to pray for. We need the Holy Spirit in every aspect of our life. That's why if the word is going to become real in our life, we must be prayerful. If we're going to be strong, if we're going to have a better For us to have a strong study habits, we need to be prayerful. To have a strong prayer life, we need to be studying. So all these things tie in together. The word becomes real the more we pray, and the more we pray, the more God becomes real, and as a habit of life, we start to think like God. We start to have the mind of Christ. So having the mind of Christ is not about my will being done, but His will being done. So that should be, see, when we have that mentality, our prayers can be answered. We don't want our prayers hindered with foolishness. Oh Lord, I'm believing God for $1 million. That's not according to God's will. I'm believing God that He's gonna give me a big old, you know, give me a nice Cadillac. If you go out there and work for it, you can go out there and buy you one of those. But that's not, God care less about stuff. Stuff is not gonna save souls. Driving people out in your Cadillac make you look good, and you gangster leaning back, but that's not going to get you nowhere near the kingdom of God. Not one step closer. But when we ask God for wisdom, when we ask Him for discernment, when we ask Him for understanding, when we ask Him for, Lord, give me insight into your word, those things are for eternity. Those things are for life. And those things build up the kingdom. Amen? We're going to let it go right there. And we're going to, I thought we was going to have some people come in and join me with prayer, but that's okay. Hey, we're going to keep doing it until God tells us to move on to something else, because I know I need it. I know you guys, there's some folks out there that need it. Lord willing, we'll be back here tomorrow, 9:30 a.m. Pacific time, and we will continue on with the Power of Prayer Part 3, Power of Prayer Part 3. Hey, I'm here. Let's close up right now, and then we'll let everybody we'll go ahead and close the radio program. Amen. Father God in heaven, Lord, I still thank you, Lord God. No matter those that didn't show up or those that's not here, Lord, we just thank you, Lord. We lift up the body of Christ right now and the power of prayer. We pray, Father, for those who are discouraged or those who have been knocked down and defeated, those who have been with are not at peace, Lord. They don't have the joy of the Lord. Lord, we just plead the blood over them right now. We believe, Lord God, that you're going to raise us up. To raise us up, Lord God, so we can be prepared for the last days, Lord. And we know how much we need prayer, Lord. We need to put the full armor of God on. We need to make sure that we're girded up in our minds, that our minds are sharp. The only way we can do that, Lord, is by prayer and meditation. So we seek you right now, Lord God. We seek you, Lord God, as a habit of life, Lord. We would be strong, built up in our most holy. Hey, we love you, we praise you, we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, friends, thank you for those who are listening. God bless each and every one of you. I know I'm sounding a little tired, but I am. I was working. I've been up since yesterday at 3 o'clock, and it was a long night, but praise God. You know, hey, keep me in prayer. Keep me in prayer while I'm out on these highways and byways out here in California, and I'll do the same for you. Lord willing, you join me back here tomorrow, 9:30, and we'll at least have one or two people that are called in for prayer. But hey, I'm your host, Mr. Dale Kendrick. Hey, we're here in Southern California. It is now 10:04, and I'm going to go to sleep. So you be encouraged, and I'll be encouraged, and let us continue the 30-30-30 challenge, making prayer a passion. Making prayer a passion that it will become a priority. God bless each and every one of you. Have a good day.